Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK News for Wednesday, January 22nd. I'm Hannah Floor. The city and borough of Juneau is warning of a potential measles exposure at the Seattle-Tacoma International Airport. The case was reported earlier this month and could impact Southeast Alaska residents. According to an alert shared on Friday, an unvaccinated adult experiencing symptoms of the viral infection was traveling through the airport on January 10th. The infected person flew from Seattle to Anchorage during the afternoon and evening, around the same time that multiple flights were leaving for the Southeast Alaska region. Measles is a highly contagious disease that can spread through the air or by direct contact, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. It can be especially dangerous for young children and under-vaccinated communities. The Alaska Department of Health confirmed the case last week. State epidemiologist Joe McLaughlin says the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine can significantly lower the risk of contracting the disease.
The measles component of that vaccine is one of the most effective vaccines on the planet. It's about 97% effective at preventing measles.
The vaccination rate for kindergartners in Southeast Alaska was roughly 65% last year. That's significantly lower than the national average, which is 93%, while the state and national averages have been dropping since the pandemic. McLaughlin encourages people who traveled during that time to reach out to their healthcare provider by phone if they begin experiencing symptoms. Those can include a fever, runny nose, cough, red eyes, sore throat, and a rash. He says that the state hasn't confirmed any other Alaska cases yet, but noted that the incubation period can last up to 21 days after initial exposure.
We still have a little ways to wait to see if we're going to see any secondary transmission or secondary cases as a result of exposure to this person who was infected.
The World Health Organization declared measles had been eliminated in the U.S. in 2000, but the CDC warned last year that a recent spike in cases threatened to reverse that status. In Alaska, measles outbreaks are relatively rare. This is the first confirmed case in the state since 2019. Thousands of Alaska's public sector employees have been waiting for their retirement contributions to be processed since a hacking attempt last November pushed state systems offline. As KCAW's Meredith Reddick reports, the delay has affected teachers and government workers in Sitka.
In early November, Alaska's Office of Information Technology identified suspicious activity on Division of Retirement and Benefits servers. The state shut down servers to avoid a data breach. Forrest Wolf is the legislative liaison for the Alaska Department of Administration. He says the shutdown damaged servers and that damage prompted the division to move all programs and applications to more secure remote servers.
Instead of going through the whole process of trying to rebuild a whole bunch of new servers and stuff, they just decided, hey, we'll go ahead and move it all over to the cloud like they had planned to do already.
One program, which is used by 137 agencies around the state to process retirement contributions, stopped working after the transition.
And then it was discovered that there were some issues with the format that it was in prior that needed to be upgraded.
That means that employers around the state, including the Sitka School District and City and Borough of Sitka, have not been able to use that program to send employee retirement contributions to the state since early November. Mike Vieira is a career and technical education instructor at Sitka High School. He says $2,300 in contributions have been deducted from his paycheck since November, but that money has not been deposited into his account.
And the big concern about this is that for now, going on 3 months, we've lost our time in the market on these contributions.
By the end of January, when the state estimates that systems will be running again, he says that number will be close to $3,500. That's money that would have been growing over the past 3 months. For Vieira, who is 12 years from retirement, losing 3 months of growth now would mean a long-term impact to his retirement savings. Vieira says teachers and public sector employees already face an uphill battle without defined benefits in retirement.
You pile this on top of it where you're a whole quarter out of the market with your contributions. It just doesn't give you much confidence in the state that they're going to really allow you to retire with security and dignity and be able to live, you know, for the rest of your life.
It's unclear whether employees will have a remedy. Vieira points to a 2023 Alaska statute stating that employees are entitled to lost interest if contributions are not deposited within 15 days. Wolf says the state is awaiting guidance from the Department of Law and tax consultants on whether that statute will apply to the state. Wolf says the state has provided employers with a temporary workaround process, which requires both employers and the state to manually enter contributions. As of January 17, just over half of those employers were using that process, according to state data. Melissa Weilman is the Public and Government Relations Director for the City and Borough of Sitka. She says the city is not currently using the state's temporary process and is holding employee contributions until the server is functioning again.
Our representative advised against using the manual system, stating that the city is just too complex. However, based on our understanding, other communities are using the manual entry system, but it sounds like we're just too complicated for that.
The Sitka School District is also not using the workaround. Vieira says the district has struggled to get help from the state to implement the manual system. The state expects the tool to be fully operational by the end of January, Wolf says. At that point, employers who have not been using the manual process will have to enter backlogged contributions. In Sitka, I'm Meredith Reddick.
Former Anchorage Mayor Dave Bronson has been appointed as manager of the Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport. Bronson, a former Air Force and commercial airline pilot, served as Anchorage mayor from 2021 to 2024 when he lost his re-election bid to Suzanne LaFrance. His term was marked with numerous allegations of mismanagement and unethical behavior. In a statement, Alaska Transportation Commissioner Ryan Anderson said Bronson has a deep understanding of the state's aviation needs and will help further strengthen the airport as a critical hub for Alaskans and global commerce. Anchorage Airport is the second busiest cargo hub in the country, behind Memphis's airport, and ranks among the top five worldwide. In a statement, Bronson said he was honored to manage the Anchorage Airport. He's set to start his new position on January 27th. State lawmakers convened in Juneau yesterday to kick off the first session of the 34th Alaska Legislature. They'll spend the next 4 months or so debating bills and building the state budget. First day always involves more pomp and circumstance than legislating, but leaders in the state Senate gathered reporters to share the priorities. Senate President Gary Stevens, a Kodiak Republican, says lawmakers will look to tackle a wide variety of issues.
Funding of education, focusing in on recruitment and retention of high-quality teachers and public employees. We want to talk about affordable and reliable energy, and then also election reform.
Stevens is leading a bipartisan Senate majority caucus made up of 9 Democrats and 5 Republicans, but they're facing stiffer opposition than in the past 2 years. The minority caucus has doubled to 6 Republicans, enough to guarantee seats on legislative committees. The 14-6 split gives the minority caucus a chance to block votes that require a three-quarters majority. But Senate Minority Leader Mike Schauer, a Wasilla Republican, says obstruction isn't on the immediate agenda.
We're not starting that way because that's kind of working backwards to the front at the beginning. Our goal was to find common ground with the Senate majority, with the House majority and minority, and things that we can work on that we agree upon.
Meanwhile, a 21-member coalition made up of Democrats, independents, and 2 Republicans officially took power in the House. The new speaker, Dillingham independent Bryce Edgman, told the newly sworn-in representatives there's a lot of hard work ahead.
We have a very unique responsibility with the conditions that face our states. Lots of opportunities, of course, lots of challenges, lots of areas to agree on, lots of areas to disagree on, lots of areas to find respectful common ground.
The House and Senate majorities are expected to be in alignment on some key issues like boosting education funding and returning public sector workers to a pension system. But that's likely to set up conflict with Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy. Petersburg's high school basketball teams hosted their third annual Invitational last weekend, playing teams from Juneau, Skagway, and Craig. The Vikings won 2 out of 6 games, but as KFSK's Olivia Rose reports, the coaches say they're seeing lots of improvement.
Cheerleaders wave pom-poms, accompanied by the pep band during the final boys' varsity game of the weekend. the players are occupied in a team huddle. While the games don't count towards the team's regional rank, Vikings coach Rick Brock says they're still valuable. Facing three other basketball teams with different styles helps the team grow.
That's what's great about this tournament is that we got to experience a lot of different situations in the 3 days. Like, fighting from behind and gaining a lead and holding on, being ahead and then holding on to a lead at the end. And then how do you fight through adversity when you're down 20 and things aren't going your way, and how do you still fight the fight?
The Petersburg Vikings are up against the Craig Panthers, and things are not going their way. It's their third game of the weekend. Petersburg started strong, first beating Juneau Douglas and then Skagway next. But up against Craig, they lost their early lead, down double digits by halftime. Coach Brock says once the Craig Panthers took over, the Vikings weren't able to gain back their momentum.
Momentum is a weird thing in sports. Once they started scoring, the basket got really big for them, and we could not defend. We could not stop their scoring.
Brock says confidence is key, and it reflects how well the Vikings compete.
Both the Juneau game and the Skagway game, different situations, but we had to have confidence in ourselves at the end of the game, and it happened. They flipped that around in the Craig game, and we lacked believability in ourselves. Yeah, we just, as they kept gaining confidence, we lost ours.
Petersburg lost to Craig, 70-55. Brock says the team's believability, or confidence, that they can compete on the court without hesitating is important. And he says he's starting to see more and more of it.
Sometimes you hold back when you're not sure. And so, and that's partly what's happening with us. I think things happen really fast at the varsity level, especially good basketball. It happens quick. And you don't have time to doubt or wonder. You have to just react and play. And when you're not sure of yourself, sometimes you hold back just a little bit.
Brock says the team is trying to use these experiences to improve.
They're great kids, and inside of all of them, they have that competitiveness. I think that it takes time to develop that, especially at this level. And our league is extremely good. But again, as this goes forward, the more and more they get on the court and play and compete, that competitiveness they have inside of them, they'll let that out. We'll just play better and better.
Matt Powick coaches the Lady Vikings. Even though the girls' team lost all three games, he says he saw lots of improvement over the weekend. Each loss came with tighter point margins.
We would have liked to have won all three games, but to see that progress, and especially, against Craig, to see where we've come from just a couple weeks ago was a positive thing to see.
The Lady Vikings play the Lady Panthers from Craig for their final game, too. The game started slow, with the Lady Vikings down 8-0. But then, Powick says, the team woke up and scored their first basket of the game. Despite Craig's early lead, it was a close competition between the two teams throughout the game. But in the end, Craig won, 39-30. After a string of defeats, Powick says the girls are training for aggression.
I think sometimes maybe some of the younger kids worry about, having somebody get mad at them for playing too hard or things like that. And I think we're finally starting to get over some of that. And it shows, like we did, we were able to deal with the physical nature of Craig's team a lot better this time. So yeah, I think we're trending in the right direction. We still have a ways to go.
He says confidence is key more than strategy, and playing other teams helps the Lady Vikings gain firsthand experience for overcoming intimidation when push comes to shove. Powick calls it a mental adjustment of knowing they can play better and then doing it. He says he saw that happen this weekend.
If we're going to step on the floor, we might as well play, and really it just came down to that, like resetting ourselves, like this isn't who we are as a team, and knowing that, we can play much better. And they did.
The Varsity Vikings have 2 weeks of practice before they head to Anchorage for the 2A tournament at Lumen Christi. In Petersburg, I'm Olivia Rose.
And the Vikings JV basketball will take the court next at the JV Invitational this weekend in Petersburg. For KFSK, I'm Hannah Flohr.